Entrepreneurs work hard to achieve success. In today's discussion, host Will Roundtree gets to the real story of entrepreneurship. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. You'll hear from entrepreneurs who have gone through the dark side of the process and today are willing to share their insight with you. Welcome to Full-Time CEO, the SHIT they don't tell you. Now, here is your host, Will Roundtree.
Peace family, Will Roundtree here on the Full-Time CEO podcast, the shit they don't tell you. And today we're going to be talking with someone who has been so instrumental in my life. I often tell people, if it wasn't for this individual, I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair today. When I talk about the shit they don't tell you, he's the epitome of the shit they don't tell you when it comes to entrepreneurship, because he just has a way to simplify what we as humans complicate when it comes to entrepreneurship. You know, so a little bit about, you know, this individual. First of all, this is my very first business mentor. You know, I think we all have mentors, whether it's your parents or grandparents, and I often say that my parents and both of my grandparents were my very first mentors, because I say that's who I got my work ethic from. But when it comes to really understanding business, when it comes to really understanding how to deal with people, when it comes to understanding how to grow and scale businesses, this individual is more than qualified to talk about that topic today. So just, you know, I want to read this. You know, it's my mentor, John Malott. John Malott, first of all, he gets results. From humble beginnings to founder and CEO of Oh Snap Active Lifestyle. I actually recently ordered some, so that's probably why I got so much energy right now from taking the products. But John is a world-class entrepreneur. He's a branding, sales, marketing, and leadership expert. You know, John was actually the first person to really instill leadership in me. You know, over 1 million people have attended and benefited from his training and experimental seminars worldwide. John has the ability to take what appears to be complex and break it down into simple, easy, executable steps. John has become one of the most sought after business mentors, educators, and keynote speaker on the planet. Again, I'm extremely humble. I'm excited. I'm privileged to have my very first mentor on here, Mr. John Malott. John, what's going on, man?
Will Roundtree, my brother, man, it has been a long, long time. I'm excited to do this, bro. I'm proud of you. It's great to see you coming up. I love the title because it's very interesting. When I was coming up, I always thought that CEOs were these mythical type unicorn creatures. They clearly existed. They just didn't roam through my neighborhood. They just weren't, you know, in my backyard.
Right.
And to see what you're doing and, you know, impacting others, you know, it's always been for me about impacting other people. And I love seeing people that we have history with that have taken, you know, whatever happened back then, you know, you brought it to the table. There are a lot of people in our circle that they didn't take the information and do anything with it. It's one thing to sit there in awe and become a follower. But it's a whole other thing to take the information and say, look, I'm going to take this information. I'm going to go do something with it. You know, it's like Les Brown. I wrote a book with Les Brown many years ago called The Power of One. And Les Brown said, you know, you plant that seed in your mind. And that's that seed that if you keep watering it, you keep putting the info, getting in around the sunlight and all the right information, all of a sudden, man, your mind expands and it can never go back to those original dimensions. And I see that's what's happening with you. So I'm proud of you, brother. I'm happy to be on the show. And by the way, thanks for supporting the company, man. I'm glad you picked us up our products.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, before we get started, like I often tell people, like people say, like, how did you learn so much? And I always use one of the lines that I've stolen from you. I've probably stolen every single line you've used over the past 20 years. But, you know, you used to say this line, it's OK to be a copycat long as you copy the right cat. And whether you know it, you know, I've always just watched you from afar. But, you know, going all the way back, you know, I want to, first of all, let's talk a little bit about you and then we'll jump into, you know, how we cross paths. But, you know, who is John Malott? You know, we hear all of the great things about you. You know, you're internationally known. But who is John Malott?
man, you know, who is John Malott? John Malott is your unlikely entrepreneur, your unlikely success story. And I say that because, you know, I don't have all the things that society says you're supposed to have to be successful. I don't have a college degree. I don't even have a high school diploma. And you know how society a way of putting people in boxes, color of skin, gender. In my case, it was my lack of education. I ended up doing exactly what society expected from a 10th grade dropout. I started off my working career as a janitor. I was working for General Electric. Man, I'm scrubbing another man's toilets. I'm working paycheck to paycheck. I'm struggling to keep up with the big mouth promises that I made to family, friends, and bill collectors. I was just getting nowhere very, very fast. I felt like a hamster on a wheel. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm running. Every now and then I get off the wheel. I call in slick or whatever. I look around. I'm like, damn, I'm in the exact same spot.
Right.
Pretty good hamster. I get right back on that wheel. I was doing exactly what I was told to, but I was miserable. And I knew there had to be a better way. And there were some circumstances that happened in my life that put me in some facilities that got me around some individuals that helped to shape and helped to guide and really held the mirror up to my face and said, man, the reason why you're not where you want to be, it has nothing to do with society, police, teachers, all the stuff that you blame. It has everything to do with how you are reacting to the things that are being put in front of you. Mm. And I remember being in a drug rehabilitation facility and a guy by the name of Dave. Dave was big on it. Dave was like, listen, dummy, you can make excuses to everybody else. You can play victim all you want. But in the end, you're here because you made an appointment to be here. So if I took it back far enough, you know, my first felony arrest, I was 15 years old. By the time I was 17, I had this drug situation that consumed my life. Found myself through a drug rehabilitation. I was locked up in a facility because there were, you know, circumstances around me having a heart attack, smoking crack cocaine. My second and final felony, I was 24 years old. And that was the beginning. I was sitting in the Milwaukee County Jail on that bullpen floor where I made a decision. I said, yes, John Malott was a loser, drug addict, criminal, all these different things, all these adjectives that people used to describe me that were true at one point. But it was sitting there for 4 days waiting to go to trial that I said, "I doesn't matter what happens. I will not live this way again. Yes, I was all those things, but that's who I was. That's not who I will be leaving this facility when I leave." And I knew sooner or later I'd leave. But I got through all that legal stuff. And then I just made a decision, man. I made a decision. I learned in the drug rehabilitation facility from Dave. Dave taught me, or he planted the seed in me, that entrepreneurship was my way out of my circumstances, was the way out of the neighborhood, was the way out of circumstances, because I wasn't going to play professional sports. I had all these issues that were going on. And I never even saw entrepreneurship as my way. And it was that seed that was planted, though, that grew the mind, that got me to start to believe. And so I started reading the books. I got some incredible mentors. Then I got involved in businesses that didn't care. They were truly equal opportunities, you know, businesses that people would laugh at, people would shun, you know, the professionals. But those businesses went on, you know, to help me make tens and tens of millions of dollars. And I say now, like when I make $20 million, my team makes $100 million. So, you know, from humble, that's where that from humble beginnings things. And when you were reading my bio, man, it's almost embarrassing when you hear someone, you know, saying some of those things.
Right.
But man, I'm living the life now, bro. You know, it didn't happen overnight, but it's been an incredible, incredible ride.
Definitely, man. And it's powerful because I've gotten a up close front row seat of watching, you know, not only just even watching you grow, you know. So let's take it back to, you know, you and I met in 2003, you know, in
the same city.
Yeah. Yeah. Both being from Milwaukee, and we don't get a lot of opportunities coming out of Milwaukee, and we had to create that, you know. So what was it about entrepreneurship, and why was it that you had this mission of helping to create other successful individuals? Where did that come from?
Man, it was real simple because I kept getting blocked at the door. I want to do something different. I wanted to become something better. I knew there was something telling me that I was supposed to be doing better than what I was doing. There was like this sense of like, man, this is some BS. I can't keep living like this. I can't raise my daughters in the same neighborhood that I struggled to come up with in. And so entrepreneurship eventually became clear to me. It's the only way. Because you know the deal, Will. If you have to check the box on an application, you know the box I'm talking about. It's all right. If you check that box, you ain't getting the job.
Period.
If you don't check the box, you might get the job, but then later on, you're going to lose the job. So we have the situation. You can pay the price for whatever it is, you know, whatever it is you did, whatever we've all done bad things, man. We've all made mistakes. Everybody, even the biggest critics on the planet, the most shit talking, judgmental people on the planet. If we looked in their closet, we'd find a whole lot of skeletons in those things. But what I discovered was there were so many people like me that had potential, they had energy. If they were given the right, matter of fact, some of the most powerful people I met were in facilities, and they had these terrible labels. But had they been given an opportunity, these people could run the world, man. These people could run corporations. They could do incredible things if given the shot. But we've created a society. The reason I became a janitor for General Electric, you think I wanted to be a janitor for General Electric? Hell, I don't want to scrub another man's toilets and floors and be disrespected on a regular basis. But that's what was available because of the box that I had to check. Mm. And so entrepreneurship became clear to me. The only way, otherwise, the statistics tell us the truth. The numbers don't lie. The numbers tell us if you find yourself in a situation, you get wrapped up in our system, you're probably going to stay in that system.
Absolutely.
You go, you know, those that were in prison end up, when I was in Milwaukee County Detention Center, the juvenile detention facility, we weren't in there talking about how we're going to be better kids at some point. No, we were talking about how we were going to be better criminals, how we wouldn't get caught again. There was no rehabilitation happening. These same kids I was locked up in, they've been institutionalized. Look, I'm over 50. I'm not going to tell you, you know, exactly my age, but I'm over 50 years old now. I was 15 locked in juvenile detention facility. I have kids from the neighborhood, people, I have friends of mine that are still institutionalized.
Wow.
Their entire life. And they didn't choose the path of entrepreneurship. When they did have an opportunity, there wasn't someone there to teach them the principles. Like, Will, you were front row to the show, literally, man. You would be
literally.
You were one of the first ones there. You always were taking notes, man. You were leaning forward. You could just tell you were taking the shit in. Where some other people, we would offer them the opportunity, but it wasn't dressed the way they like it. I always just say some people won't participate in their own rescue. The life jacket ain't the right color or whatever. Mm. So again, you got two things. For me, it was entrepreneurship saved me, literally saved my life. You know, look at my brother. My brother's been in and out of prison his whole life. Heroin addict right now. I lost my sister at 21 to a heroin overdose. Gone. Out of the three, one made it. I don't ever feel like I made it. I feel like I got a long way to go. I feel like I'm just getting warmed up. But you get my point. I was offered an opportunity, but then I did what a lot of people still don't do. I took the opportunity. I said, all right, this is my shot, man. I'm going to give this thing everything I got. You're going to find me on the top of this mountain, or you'll find me dead trying to get there. There is nothing in between. And that was the big difference. Entrepreneurship was the vehicle, but then I had the tenacity and the fortitude to go through all the, you know, the naysayers and the people talking crazy and everything else.
"88% of businesses never reach the six-figure mark. 50% of businesses go under before their fifth year. In business, 66% go under within 10 years. Most people aren't taught what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur, the skills required to own and operate a business, or how to grow and scale their business. Don't become a statistic. Rise above these numbers and set yourself up for success by having an experienced business coach in your corner. Ready to break through barriers and get to the next level you've been waiting to reach? Retain Will Roundtree as your personal coach. Specializing in business and real estate coaching, Will has the experience, resources, and network to help you accelerate your growth and maximize your income. Visit www.wemanagementservices.com or call 702-330-3278 to learn more. Are you looking to improve your credit score? Let the professionals at We Management Services help you today. Their team of FICO-certified credit specialists can help you prepare your credit profile for a better tomorrow. Say goodbye to denials, high interest rates, down payments, and the other negative effects of bad credit, and say hello to a healthy financial future. Visit www.wemanagementservices.com or call 702-330-3278 to start your journey to a better credit score today.
You are listening to the Full-Time CEO, the SHIT they don't tell you, with your host, Will Roundtree. Now, back to the show.
So you said a couple things, John, that really stands out. First thing is I noticed your mindset shifted. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people overlook. When they look at someone who's successful, they see the cars, they see the trips, they see the money, but they don't understand what you have to go through to change how you think to get there. You know, there's a line they say, when you change your thinking, that's when you'll become successful. And so when you were in that detention center, you had to change how you thought. Then you had to make different decisions, because the decisions that you made previously is what got you there. And in order to get out of that, you had to now start making different decisions. And then you saw opportunity. So let's talk a little bit about opportunity, because I had never heard the word entrepreneurship until I met you in 2003. Like, I didn't even know how to spell it. I still don't know how to spell entrepreneurship, probably. and so understanding, like, you know, when I had an opportunity to meet you and you were like this hero in the city for us, because, you know, growing up in Milwaukee, you know how it is. We look to the drug dealers, the pimps and all of that. But then we see someone who we felt almost as our equal, who has the money. I remember you came by my house in an Escalade, brand new. It still had the new car scent in it. And I remember, you know, getting introduced to that opportunity. You were my mentor from afar. And then you kind of reached back and said, I remember getting a phone call from you, and you were like, "Hey, Will Roundtree, this is John Malott." I literally dropped the phone, because, again, you were like our hero within that organization. And so you reached back for me, and you opened up and gave me an opportunity. And I made the decision at that point to change my mindset. And as you said, like, that opportunity literally changed my life, because I had just lost my job. I had to move back in with my parents. Like, I was messed up, you know, mentally, financially. And so I always say, you know, I want to thank you and for that, because if it was not for that opportunity, but then me making that decision to seize that opportunity, you know, I don't know where I would be. So what do you say to someone? And I know, you know, we both have this parallel mindset. Look, I'm not in the business of convincing someone, but what do you say to those people, and how do you judge whether someone even deserves an opportunity to get access for you to be able to pull them up from the gutter?
You know, look, man, it's for me, I'm an energy guy, and I think you are too. Matter of fact, I know you are. And I believe more and more people are developing a sixth sense. If you've ever come from a rough upbringing, if you've ever had major challenges in your history, you probably already have the sixth sense. It was like in the drug rehabilitation facility. It was Dave. Dave was a former outlaw motorcycle gang member. He had that sixth sense. So he turned his life around. Now he was helping kids get off drugs. And I'll never forget he said, "Look, you have a sixth sense." He said, "I could teach anybody business skills. I can teach anybody business skills. I can get you a book. I can get you around business people. You can learn that stuff." He said, "But what I can't teach just anybody street smarts or that sixth sense. Like, you know, when someone's trying to get over, you could, there's a feeling that you have when you're in the wrong environment. When, you know, like, okay, there's been many times I was like, nah, somebody right here, it's time for me to leave." I remember leaving a club in Milwaukee one night. I was walking out in Ehrlich, Milwaukee police. He said, "Look, you're lucky you were leaving." He said, he had me get in his car. He said, "There's people trying that they were planning to kill me coming out of a nightclub in Milwaukee." There was this, I was there with Anthony Pettis, the UFC fighter. And I just like, man, something was off. And it was, sure enough, as I was walking out the door, Mike Ehrlich, who happened to became a friend of mine, you know, from just years of being in the city. He said, "Bro, we just got over the radio. This white dude at a black club in a suit." I was the only white guy at this club in a suit. He said, "Oh, shit." Right. I knew it was you, man. But my point is that what I saw in you back then, you didn't quite see it yet. It's just like someone saw something in me that I couldn't see yet. But what I did see is the three things. I saw a burning desire. I saw someone who there was no doubt that you wanted something different. That's the first step.
Definitely.
I saw someone who was coachable, or I would say the definition of humble is coachable, because you were showing up humble, man. You were showing up not trying to be a big baller, not trying to act like you're something you're not, pen and paper, ready to roll. So I saw that. That was very interesting to me, because a lot of people just didn't do that. And I didn't know yet at that point the third thing, which was willing to work. But I found out later on that once you were given the opportunity, man, you hustled, man. You were flying through the ranks. You were doing stuff that most people wouldn't do. So, you know, I haven't always picked the winning horse. Trust right. me on that. But you were definitely one of those that came up and lived up to the energy expectations that I had for you. So, you know, you said something about thinking. Let me tell you something about thinking. People, they don't give credit where credit is due, or they get too wrapped up in the mindset side. Here's what I mean by that. When I evaluate, every week, every Friday, my wife and I do a plan, do review. You know, we review the week's, what happened throughout the week, and then we plan the next week, and then we go execute, and then we do that again and again and again. So we're always reevaluating. I've done the same thing in every area of my life, in all my businesses, in my life, every area. I look at my results, because you know where people get frustrated, Will? They're getting frustrated because of the results that they're getting, right?
Very true. Very true.
So much energy, so much attention on the results. Okay, I get that. And then what happens? If they don't get the results, they get stressed out. Next thing you know, they're on Prozac or even worse. Who knows? But so what I started to do, I really got focused on, okay, my lifestyle, the life that I live today, it clearly came from my results. So you know where everyone's looking at? They're trying to look at my results, but they can't figure out how I got this lifestyle from those results because they're not going far enough back. So if you go back, so you go from the results came from my behavior. What's my behavior? It's the activity. It's the actions, the things I'm doing every single day. People don't know, and Will, you know this, while other people were out at the clubs, we were over at the office playing.
Every Tuesday, every Saturday, literally.
We weren't there yet. None of us were. I might have been in the grand scheme of things in that little circle. You know, I might have seemed like something, but I wasn't nothing. An Escalade, bro, if I rolled up to your house and Escalade today, you got to have at least a Rolls Royce, a Bentley.
Right.
Escalades don't even make the cut anymore. That's like if you got six kids at home, then you got to, like, you know what I'm saying? Times have changed.
Right.
So again, so if we go, now we go even further back. You know what the activity is, behavior. So you can start to now, if people would focus more on, okay, let me see the behavior. Forget his result. Let me look a little deeper. What is he doing? What is his daily method of operation? You know, how is he speaking to people? What time is he getting up in the morning? What is he doing with his health? You know, that's the kind of stuff I started focusing on. What is the behavior? But then if you catch on right before the behavior, there's something that drives the behavior, and that's the attitude. Hmm. And here's where stuff starts to fall apart, man. People will wake up, you know, I always just say it all the time. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Now you're angry for the rest of the damn day. I'm like, go push the bed against the wall so you never have that excuse to ruin my damn day. You know, it rained. Like in Wisconsin, it was always gloomy. So maybe that's why they all have bad attitudes. The weather affects people's bad. If your spouse says something negative to you, and I know how that can be, man. You know, your spouse says something slick. And next thing you know, I'm talking slick to the guy at the gas station. Then I just start a cycle. The guy at the gas station does this. He go kick his dog. The dog bites somebody. Who knows where this ripple effect from negativity goes?
Right.
But the attitude, as I teach my kids, the attitude is the one thing we give the least amount of control over, but it's the one thing we have the most control over. Mm. If you start to think about it, the attitude comes from your expectations. Now, I wake up every day. I expect to win. I expect to go first class. I expect that. So that drives my attitude. But where did my expectations come from? My expectations came from my beliefs, and my beliefs came from my thinking. So you started this whole thing off talking about thinking. So it's not just enough to look at the thinking, and it's not enough to look at the results. It's all this meat on the bone in the middle where people get lost. Mm. And this was the separator for me.
No, and it's interesting you say that, because I remember, you know, I literally changed my entire lifestyle because, like you mentioned, we were training every single day. And I can remember one time there was a Super Saturday coming up in Illinois. And I think I came up to you. I was like, hey, Mr. Malott, I don't know if I can make it. I got a bowling tournament or something. And you were like, look, well, let me tell you, I've never met a millionaire with a high bowling average. And then you hit me with, you know, Will, you can make excuses or you can make money, but you can't do both. And that always stuck with me. And so now I transfer that same energy with people I work with. I'm like, look, you told me this is what you wanted. You said you want to change your lifestyle. You said you want to get your kids out the hood. You said you want to leave your 9-to-5. So just tell me you ran out of peanut butter, because any other excuse that you give me it's equivalent to the same thing. And so I adapted that mindset. But like you said, it was the attitude that I started to develop from, you know, the many years of you just pouring into me and how you did for everyone. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about those early stages, you know, when I was coming around and different things like that. And the training, a lot of times people just see the finished product and they just want the result of what the years of work you put in for that finished product. Let's talk about how much we actually did train behind the scenes, because people really don't know. It literally was like we put in more training than probably someone going to a university. Why was that important?
Bro, it's everything. You think about it. You know, you take we get it when we see professional athletes. You know, you see a Floyd Mayweather. Man, that dude, think about the time he spent in the gym. Now he spends more time in the club or the strip club, but you know, but prior to that, it was training. It was training, the gym. One thing I knew instinctively is that I didn't know how to build a company. I didn't know how to scale a company. I didn't know these things. That wasn't happening in my house. My dad worked at A. O. Smith as a steel worker and got hurt and, you know, kind of end of his career. And he was struggling just to put food on the table. So, and you, same thing. We weren't born in houses with Rolls Royces already in the garage. So the one thing that I knew that I could bring to the table is I could go find information from somebody who had what we wanted, find out what they did to get that thing, and then bring that information back into our neighborhood, bring that into our facility, bring that into our training environment. And for me, a lot of times, if I couldn't get them directly, which was was most of the time I couldn't get them, I just became a regurgitator of their stuff.
Absolutely.
Study it. Before I got in there, I was studying their material until I could get up in front of the room and speak it as if it was my own.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? But I knew we had to get sharp. We had to get better. There was no way they were going to open up doors for us until we got better, until Definitely. We could communicate better, until we had that. Like I say now, man, I look you in the eye and with clarity and conviction, let you know, you get around me, your life is changing. Back then, I didn't have it like that, man. Because I was still building up that armor, still building it up. Now, how many years later, it's like, you can't tell me nothing, man. I know what the process, I know how to scale a company. I know how to take someone from zero to hero. I know how to make millions and millions of dollars personally, but even more important, help other people make millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
Now, now it flows different, but it really came back from those training days, man. It was being in practice when everyone else was at the club or at the beach. We are in practice, man. We are getting our minds prepared to play the game.
Definitely.
And then we had out of accountability. So we would learn something and we go put it in practice, come back and talk about the results.
Yeah. And I still have my journal from 2004, man, with all of the notes, the Super Saturdays, the Tuesday briefings, the national conventions out in Las Vegas. And so I often look back and I look at those notes and I'm like, man, the personal development. And that was one of the things that you really instilled in us. Well, I'm going to just speak for me specifically, that you really instilled in me. And you would say, Will, if you learn to become a different person, people will see it. Now you're no longer the college dropout. You're no longer the person who had to move back in with your parents. You're no longer, you know, whatever stigma someone wanted to put on me. And so, and I often tell people, I didn't make any money in the organization. You know, I had the titles, but the personal development, that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I am who I am. And then speaking of national conventions, and let's fast forward a little bit. I remember Las Vegas, Nevada was one of the first national conventions. And I was like, John, look, I don't know if I can make it. I don't have the money. And you looked me in my eyes at the time and said, Will, you can't afford not to be there. And I'm telling you, like, just the level of accountability that you gave me without you being like, you know, that overbearing personal trainer. But it was your level of conviction. It was your posture. It was, you know, how you delivered the information. And so, and I respect that. And I remember the sacrifice I made. I remember, you know, flying out there and sleeping 10 in a room. It's smelling like feet and Cheetos and all type of other bodily gases and all of that. But you really pushed me to be a better person, and you pushed the greatness out of me. Why is that personal development so important for someone who's listening to your journey of being that full-time CEO?
Yeah, bro, because life allows you to be as small as you want to be or as large as you want to be. And then here's the challenge. Had I said, hey, Will, I understand you got a lot going on, finances are tight and all that, I would have been doing you a huge disservice, because the struggle, the power is in the struggle. When I look back and I realize these struggles that I went through that at the time, they seemed like huge. I mean, getting an airline ticket seemed huge at one time.
Man.
A hotel, like you said, getting a hotel room by yourself was like nearly impossible.
It was impossible, man. So,
but you think of it, and you know, now I fast forward and I laugh at those, what seemed like huge sacrifices back then, to when I laugh at it now, because, but you can only laugh at it now because you actually made the sacrifice. You did the thing to get the power. Where I see people, look, either way, you're going to sacrifice. You get a chance. You get an opportunity. You could sacrifice right now. Maybe take the next 5 years. And I think it's even less now. Back when we were coming up, we didn't have social media. We didn't have these type of, like the way we can get information out. It was slow back then, bro. I remember having one VHS tape that I would hand to people, and I'd get that damn thing back because it cost me $17. That was how I promoted my business. And I'm like, no, you got to get it back because I don't have another one. And we wore that thing out until I started making money, and I got a few more and a few more. But my point is, society now allows you to be weak. And I see it a lot. Like let's take a single mother. Single mother says, look, I can't come to that event because I got the kids, right? Now I get it. Everyone's going to say, you're right. What we end up doing, or what we do a lot, is we use our responsibilities as the excuse not to do something that could advance us to the next level. What I started catching on to was, look, man, if I could use my responsibility, okay, because I have the kids, I have to find a way. Mom's got to watch them. Cousins, something's got to give, because whatever I'm doing right now is, and if I look at the results, I'm not happy with those results. And I say, those results are not what I want to get. Well, you can't keep doing the same shit and think somehow the shit's going to change. So what I caught on to with the people around me, because I was fortunate, I have mentors that said, look, dummy, like Jeff Olson, if I said something slick on the phone, he'd hang up. I mean, I could talk to him again. Like we can't do that nowadays because people are very sensitive. If I hang up on someone in our organization now, they're putting some crazy stuff on social media. They're telling the world I'm the worst thing ever. You know, we got cancel culture. Like, you got to watch out. You can't really mentor people the way we were mentored, the way you should be mentored. A coach should be able to tell you, man, you're messing up.
Yeah.
Get your ass in the game. Stop doing this because that's not working. Now you have to find creative words. You got to finesse. That's why, for me, if you get in my circle, I'm going to tell you right up front. Do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to tell you what you want to hear? Because I can give you both. You know, if you just want me to tell you what you want to hear every day, man, it's all, you know, butterflies and rainbows and all that. And you're the greatest thing ever. And I'll tell you that. That's what you want. But if you want to grow, you're going to need someone that, like I had, that said, you're messing up, man. You forgot where you came from. Because you forgot where you came from, you're on your way back. You got, and it was a different time though, man. It's a way different time. And I believe at some point it's going to shift again. Because more and more people are catching on. They're not getting to their destination by being so damn weak.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to get to Dallas, Texas from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there's a process that you have to go through. There's time. You just can't teleport yourself there. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
If you're trying to make $1 million and here's where you are today, you can't get there using your brain, because if your brain had everything it needed right now to get you there, you'd already be there.
Definitely.
So you're going to have to get someone in there that's willing, and mentors. Why would a mentor mentor you? What do you bring to the table? What's the trade-off? And in this situation, Will, it was very simple. Look, if you crushed it, guess what? I earned a little override.
Definitely.
Ron became a mentor in one of our early businesses. There were people that because they had a financial incentive. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely.
There was and there's got to be some trick. People hit me up all the time. Will you be my mentor? Yeah, I'll be your mentor, but you got to join the business. You got to contribute in order for me to contribute back to you.
Absolutely.
And then you got to be willing to, you know, to sharpen up, to you know, listen to what I'm saying, to show up. Half the time, people today don't even want to show up.
They don't.
We were doing every Tuesday night. We'd be like, it'd be you and I sitting around talking to each other.
Definitely, man. And speaking of showing up, I remember you came to me in 2005. We were building an organization in Las Vegas. And you hit me with, Will, I have an opportunity for you. If you want to go to that next level, I need you to move to Las Vegas. And I remember sitting back and like, damn, literally, I have to leave Milwaukee. You know, I'm in my mom's basement and I'm sitting there. I'm like, it got to be better than this. But this is what you did for me, though. You were like, I'm not going to finance your lifestyle. You have to go out there and put the work in, but I will give you the opportunity to get out there. And you helped me to grow just to be able to be a decision maker. And I remember I didn't even have the money. And I don't know if you remember this story, John. You actually borrowed me $500. And I remember you borrowed me $500. I had a garbage bag full of clothes because I couldn't afford a suitcase. And I didn't even know like what my plan B was, you know, and I moved to Las Vegas. I remember selling the few things I did have in Milwaukee. My car was up for repo, so I just left my car behind and I booked a one-way ticket to Las Vegas, man. And I tell people that, and when I talk about the shit they don't tell you in entrepreneurship, these are the stories people don't hear because they just see the finished product of who Will Roundtree is today. But they don't know when I moved to Vegas, and you don't even know this part, John. Like, I moved out here and shit was rough. I mean, I had to sleep in my car. I'm taking a shower in the local gym at UNLV. Like, it was a lot. But whenever you guys would come out for the event, I always showed up. I was always excited because I knew that that was temporary pain. And so, but you forced me to learn how to make decisions. When I used the word forced, it wasn't in a bad way. It was like, hey, here's an opportunity. Do you want it or not? And I think a lot of times, because we haven't, this generation doesn't have that same grit as we were able to have back then, we don't necessarily get to give people those same opportunities because you don't know how they're going to take it. They're like, oh, man, you're just leaving me out. You got all this money and you expect me to move to Vegas. I don't have a place to stay. I don't have a car. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that. Like, did you see that in me to where you were like, I know he can make it?
I'll tell you straight up what I believed about Milwaukee. I don't know if you would have survived, bro.
I know I wouldn't have.
That's it. The city has a way of sucking you into this negativity. I mean, I had three daughters. So I finally got my last daughter out of there 2 years ago. And I say it, and it's weird to say it like that, but I know what it's doing for me. And if you are, and you're trying to come up, but when everybody around you is not trying to come up, you got constant pull. Gravity's already there. Then you got another form of gravity pulling on you every day. So what I caught on pretty quickly is that in other markets, you could go into a new market and become whoever you want to become. But in Milwaukee, you were still going to be known as that guy. Whoever that circle, even though you're trying to get away from it, was still going to be there. And that was a problem for me on a regular basis. And I knew it. It was getting me back on drugs. I was very comfortable in that circle that wasn't good for me, but I knew it well. And every now and then I find myself in an environment with that circle that was bringing me close to, you know, losing everything, including my life. Mm. So there was more to it than just the fact I knew for, it's like I told even Poet Woods, I said, Poet, look, Arizona, I'm gonna help you get it.
I remember.
I can't fund your life. I can't do that. But I didn't ever said it, but I may be saving your life. It was never my place to say that because I'm not God. I don't play God. But I knew what that environment was doing, and I knew the environments that some of us were around on a regular basis. So there was a lot to that, man. And if you go in like some of these other markets, again, when I moved, bro, I remember one of my first moves with California. I got to be who I walked into California, the guy that was in my mind, not the guy that was in Milwaukee or Chicago. You know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden I started acting the part and now new opportunities were coming to me. And now my circle was changing dramatically. So the old circle from Milwaukee, I could only give them seconds of my time now. Today, it's hard even for me to be around them. Sometimes they don't understand. I'm like, listen, bro, you're 50 some years old. You're doing the same shit we were doing when we were 15. Mm-hmm. The mentality is the same as when we were in our 20s. I can't be around them. I'm trying to elevate. I'm trying to move forward. I can't be held back anymore. And anyways, maybe it's, I don't know if it sounds arrogant or what, but the bottom line, it was to save lives. It was to save my life, it was to save other people's lives around me. Cause there were certain people I knew in that environment. Just think about it, bro. If you would, did that move help you? Did that move make a massive change for you?
John, let me tell you something, man. Like, I honestly don't even know if I would be alive if I didn't make that move. Like, real talk. And because and this is what I'll share. And I've never shared this story before. I can remember being at a point so low mentally, I almost took my life before I moved. And it was almost like when you asked me to make that move, it was like that was the prayer that I needed. But I also understand some people may not have taken it because it didn't come in a package that they wanted it to come in. It wasn't like you were giving me a severance to move out there. It was like, look, here's $500. Let me just help you get on your feet. Because you had already equipped me with everything else that I needed, from the trainings, from, you know, the personal development, from just giving me opportunity to get access to a whole different network of people. I mean, meeting some of the top income earners in the country, you know, but you gave me that opportunity and I ran with it. So you're 100% right. I needed to get out of that environment. And I always say it saved my life, man. So I always share that story because I don't think people really understand that you are where you are today based on the decisions you made 3 to 5 years ago. We think it was because of the decision from yesterday. No, it was the shit that you decided not to do years prior to. And so that's what I'm always constantly telling individuals, man. And so, no, you're 100% right. And I think that's one of the things. Well, not I think. I know that's one of the things I admire about you. And I know that's a lot of, you know, the mantra, the ideology that you have now with Oh Snap. And let's talk a little bit about that, man. Like, how did that, you know, come about? Because I know you've had many different journeys that basically prepared you for where you are today. You know, how did you get to that place?
Well, you know, it, for me, there's always a pain driver in one form or another. And there was this, I had been involved in building some big companies. I've had many companies of my own. I always had a cash flow machine. You know, I built a company, you know, inside of a company, and that company, that thing was paying me $250,000 a month, whether I rolled over in bed or rolled out of bed. It was, and a couple of things happened. I developed some bad habits. You know, you'd find, and I went through a divorce, and you'd find me in a strip club. You know, I was 5-6 nights a week. I was spending money like a maniac for 3 years until to the point where I didn't like myself anymore. Mm. And I was like, something's got to, this is not who I am. And I'm used to a certain level of discipline. I, you know, I'm still wild, man. I still got that side of me, but I was doing,
we've had some fun times.
Yeah, that's why we both had to leave Milwaukee, man. We'd have been, that wasn't the place to have fun on a regular basis.
Right, right.
If you struggle with obtaining funding from the big banks, don't give up just yet. The business funding experts at We Management Services have valuable tools for you to put in your toolkit. Their creative funding strategies, flexible guidelines, and exclusive lender partnerships can help you obtain the funding you need to propel your business ventures to new heights. Visit www.wemanagementservices.com or call 702-330-3278 to learn more about how you can secure up to $250,000 in business funding. Hey, want to gain additional insight into how Will the Credit King Roundtree plays the financial game? Follow him on social media at Mr. Will Roundtree to get daily entrepreneurial, investing, and wealth-building tips. Learn how you can get in the best position to make the right plays. Follow at Mr. Will Roundtree across all social media platforms today.
You are listening to the Full-Time CEO, the SHIT they don't tell you, with your host, Will Roundtree. Now, back to the show.
I had a lot of frustration over the way some of these companies were being run. And I had a mentor that said, okay, then, just like I was told many years ago, I didn't like the way someone would speak about our opportunity in the front of the room. He said, well, then you go speak about it. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll just let it ride for a little while. Until the pain got big enough, I said, all right, I'm going to do it. And there was enough pain of me watching people get involved in these opportunities where old school techniques that can't possibly work in a new day the things that they're teaching these people, I just saw like a lot of laundering money amongst friends type deals, like wink, wink, don't tell anybody, but we got a business. I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that these companies weren't tapping into e-commerce and social media and you know, these all these different places are out there that speed things up. So I had a mentor said, look, man, okay, well, stop complaining about it. Either go retire, which I'm not ready for, or go build it yourself.
Wow.
And put it where your mouth is. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. My wife and I, she didn't realize, you know, I don't think in the beginning. I said, look, let me tell you something. This, like, we got an incredible life. It's lots of fun and games. Got the big house on the hill, got the beach house, got all this stuff. When we do this, you have to understand, when I'm in that mode, when I'm in change lives modes, when I'm focused on, we got 100 people that need to eat better, we got 100 people that need to live better, I become consumed with it.
Definitely.
And so she's seeing it now, but here's what's funny, is I'm watching her now become consumed. When you change other people's lives, there's something gratifying that happens inside of you.
Absolutely.
You can change your life. That's great. Congratulations on that success. But when you all of a sudden start seeing other people live different lives because of the shit that you poured into them. And now, not only could I take, like, I had a big mentoring program where people were paying me, they were paying me every month for me to mentor them. And I was like, the biggest issue I had, the biggest thing that kept coming up is they didn't have a vehicle. You know, I could teach them scaling. Well, what you going to scale? You know, I could teach them leadership. Well, who are you going to lead? I could teach them finance, but they didn't have a cash flow machine. So what I was able to, I said, I killed the mentoring program. I said, look, instead of me mentoring you and you paying me, I'm killing this whole program. I'm going to pay you for me to mentor you. And what I mean by that is I'm going to teach you all these skills in real time, in real life, side by side. And how you'll know if it works is you get a paycheck. Paycheck. And you know how we roll, man. Mine is cash flow. I get a goose that lays golden eggs, and I take care of that goose.
Definitely.
We focus in on that. So right now I'm just teaching people, look, I keep telling people all the time. I said, I don't build for money. I build for freedom. You know, for me, I got lots of friends with me. They're super. I got some now. My circle is, it's insane. But my rich friends, they're not really free, man. I tell them all the time, look, your kids don't see you, bro. I got some friends that are in front of a computer screen all day, you know, trading, doing that. And I got nothing. I think it's great. You know, they got a skill set. It's making the money, but they're not free either. I got friends, lots of money, no time. Then I got a whole nother group of friends like we all had and probably a lot around had lots of time, no money. They ain't free either.
Right.
Well, I tell my guys all the time, that's why I bring in so many professional athletes and big influencers, people with money now. Because I said, look, congratulations on all of your success. But how much money do you make if you don't work and you can't work? If you can't work as a whole, because people don't even think about it. You get in a car accident, it could change everything tomorrow. Literally. And people don't plan for that. If you can't use your voice, if you can't, you know, use your skill set, what's going to happen to you now? I build cash flow machines that grow in spite of me, not because of me. I put a thing in motion. I put high-tech tools to it. I let that baby run. And that's what I started showing, you know, massive influential people. You know, this is how you build a cash flow machine. Do what you got to do. Use your skill set to keep doing that. We talk about it. Make your living in your full time, but make your fortune in your part time. Let me teach you how to do this. And that's what we started doing, man. So for me, I had a frustration over the way things were being delivered, the way we were treating people. I decided I'm going to build a company from the field up instead of the company down. We put in right away our six pillars: people, product, process, community, culture, and then compensation last. Why compensation last? Not because I don't think it's important. But if you don't got the right people, if your product is shit, if your processes aren't in place, and if you don't build the right community and culture, you ain't never going to get to the money. Or you might touch the money, but you'll never have sustainable, long-term, passive residual income. And definitely. So I wanted to build a machine, man. This is lifestyle. This is legacy. This is the exclamation point on 28 years of building in the trenches. And I'm still in the trenches, bro. I love the trenches, man.
Absolutely.
My wife is like, bro, you – no, she didn't say bro. She didn't call me bro. But – sometimes she does. she's listening. I love the fight, man. I love the battle, man. For me, give me the sword, man. Give me the sword. Let me go out there with you. Let me show you how this shit is done. Let me show you how to overcome some of the negativity. Let me show you how to take someone from zero to hero. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I live for, man. And now this gives me the perfect environment to do it.
Yeah, and I can definitely attest to that, because even when back then, when you were at that point, even though you said it wasn't your apex, you always came back to the neighborhood to pull us out And it wasn't like, hey, I made it. You would still come to dinner with us. You would still go to different events with us. But it was always a time of learning. And I want to rewind a little bit as we get close toward the end of this show. You talked about how you went through a transition where you kind of lost, you know, I'm not going to say everything, but you started to lose who you were. What was it that got you out of that funk? Because I think a lot of people go through that period where they may touch some money, they may touch some success, they may touch a little fame, but then they lose it. And it's very hard for a lot of people to recover from that. What was that process like for you?
Man, I'll tell you what, I would give you a warning about money. You're almost better off never having it than to have it and to lose it. Because here's what happens. My identity started to be around my income. When I would go speak, I mean, they were paying me $25,000 an hour to go speak at an event. You know, it was insane. Like, you want me to give my biased opinions, you're gonna pay me 25 grand, you're gonna fly me out, wine and dine me. What started to happen in a way is they would introduce me based on my income. People, I walk in rooms and people knew. And everything around me, you know, even if it was not, look, from the Rolls Royces to the houses, to all this stuff, it just, there was money. There was clearly money in the mix. And it messes you up mentally. It's one thing if you can sustain that forever. But most don't, unless you really got the
ever. Very few.
A divorce will cut you in half quickly. 3 years in nightclubs and strip clubs will cut you in half quickly. Bad business deals will cut you in half quickly. And so you start getting cut in half, cut in half, cut in half. You wake up one day like, damn, you know, because money will lead you to believe. You get enough of it, you believe that you're something that you're really not. The money will believe you, will have you thinking that you're some kind of special mythical creature, but you're really not, man. That's why I have on my hand, ego is the enemy now, in my writing hand, to always remind me, stay humble. This shit could be temporary. And I'm very focused now. I'm remaining humble. That's why we do crazy stuff, but not like I used to. And I keep everything a lot more low key now because I don't ever want to go back. But basically what happened in the end, I met my wife out at a nightclub. It was 2016, August 31st, 2016. It was my birthday weekend. I'd already made a decision that I was done with this life. There was a 3 year of me going crazy. I said, I'm done. I can't do this. And it wasn't even, the money was still there, but my psyche, I had so many bad habits. I would sleep till noon, go party all night. I would, you know, whatever. It was just not a good place. I didn't like myself anymore. And I told her when we met, I said, look, this, you ain't gonna see me in this mix anymore. And it just, and something that the sun and the moon things aligned just right. She had gone through some things and was at a point where she was not trying to be out anyways. Matter of fact, when I met her, she was trying to leave the club. I said, no, you can't leave. You're coming with me. And I brought her in.
Right.
And she really helped, man, for someone so young to have so much wisdom, man. And I needed someone that had wisdom in areas I did not have wisdom in. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I knew how to build big ass companies. I knew how to go make some money. But I was lacking as a man in a lot of different areas. You know, that she helped pick up some slack and got me real family. Like, her family's from Trinidad. They're very tight knit, you know, together, you know, big ass family, lots of kids in that type of environment. So, and I wanted that, bro. I never really had that. And so that was stuff that really helped me get grounded again. I don't know. There's lots of answers to that question.
Definitely. Definitely.
But the biggest thing is, you know, like Jim Rohn used to say, beware of the man or the woman who's just had enough.
Wow.
And I've been there a few times. And that, this last time was me having enough of myself.
Right.
The other times when I had enough of society, I had enough of the neighborhood, I had enough of the people around me. This time I had enough of myself. And that's been a big driver for me, man. And I, you know, look, having this company and having now, I'm creating again. You know, I'm out here hustling again. I'm out here duplicating, scaling. I'm out here planning, you know, the next country we open up, the next product we open up, and then bring into the marketplace something they've never seen, man. These snap packs, you know, liquid, highly absorbable liquid nutrition, something different, creating an entirely new category, going head to head with the big boys that don't have what I have. They got pills, powders, gummies. they're asking, how do we get this? I'm like, ah, we'll see, bro.
Right.
You got something very unique, something special, and it's starting to pick up steam.
So, right.
You know, success feeds on itself. Every day is better than the day before. My next move is my best move. So that whole, what we were doing in the day in the trenches, developing people, the what was a little painful because we were broke. Imagine doing it when you have money, doing that same thing, teaching that same thing, but you got money and you're stable and you can do it on a whole nother level.
Definitely, man.
It's fun, man. I'm having the time of my life. I'm going backwards age-wise now. So
absolutely. No, last question, John, and I appreciate your time again. You know, if what's that one thing that, you know, you wish you had a known? You know, what was that one thing you wish someone had a told you on this journey of being that full-time CEO?
Man, you said one thing. I'll tell you this, that nobody gives a shit.
Mm.
And nobody gives a shit. People are tuned in to themselves. And I had a lot of disappointment coming up because I believe that people really care. And look, when I'm bringing people into my company now, I'm sorting in a different way because I'm sorting for people that give a shit. And it's crazy because that's a much bigger sorting process.
Definitely.
Because in the end, you can ask a few questions, find out pretty quickly. You know, this person, they're a narcissist. They care about themselves. We've created this environment. We've created an environment where it's me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. We've created an environment where we lack faith. We lack trust. We lack belief. So we become everything. That's why we become defined by the car that we drive. We become defined by, you see the necklaces now. Remember back in the day, they were just not, Run DMC had a nice big gold rope. Now, if you ain't got diamond encrusted, you know, I had to go out and get me a big old diamond thing just to be halfway in the mix. You know, it's like, we've become the stuff. And that's how, look, go turn on a rap video right now, or even a rock, I don't care what video now. It's, look at me as I bling, bling, bling. And we are, our whole identity is about stuff. It's not about this, what's inside of me, who I am as a person, what I'm becoming, where I'm going when this is all done. So it's an interest. It's different to understand what's happening, the shift. It doesn't stop anyone from being successful or significant or building a legacy. It just means you have to operate differently.
Definitely.
I just wish I didn't waste so much time with people that I was trying to get them to care. I was trying to get them to be concerned. I was trying to get them to have some empathy. I was trying to get them to think about others, because you cannot, in my opinion, you cannot build a long-term sustainable business that will withstand the test of time if you don't give a shit about other people besides yourself. We have story after story of people that have made it, and some of them have made it, and then they killed themselves because of the disgrace of who they really were when they were discovered. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, man. Well, John, man, I appreciate you sharing that, man. I know your schedule has been extremely busy. I've been trying to make this happen for 2 years. And so, man, I definitely appreciate it, man. And as we wrap up, man, I just want to always give you your flowers, man. Like I say, you've done so much for my life directly and indirectly. And I know in this generation, you know, men don't like to compliment other men. But I just want to tell you, man, just, you know, virtually face to face that, you know, I just appreciate you a lot, man. In any way that, you know, I could be a vessel to help pour back into, you know, whatever you have going on, you have my support 1,000,000%. You know, you've changed my entire family legacy just because you saw more in me than I saw in myself at the time. So I appreciate you. This is our full-time CEO podcast, The Shit They Don't Tell You, where I got my friend, my brother, my mentor, Mr. John Malott, a.k.a. Legacy Builder, a.k.a. your favorite mentor. So, man, I appreciate you, John. Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother. Hey, man, keep doing this. This is much needed. Imagine if we had this back in the day, bro.
Man.
Speeds up the process. When Jim Rohn would say it's going to take 5 years to turn your life around, we didn't understand this kind of stuff.
Right.
In a year, in 3 months, the shifts can happen. So I'm proud of you, brother. I see you all grown up now, and I'm proud of you. I'm, you people send over legal shit, and I'm like, what? This is Will Roundtree, man. I ain't gonna do no legal nothing with my boy. I'm just we can rock this thing out. Let's go. I see there's some Esquire on here. We got lawyers watching.
Yeah, she's our EP. She helps out a lot, man. So she just wanted to make sure everything flows smoothly, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. It does show me you're on the come up and have come up and continue, man. Blessings, love, respect, bro.
Definitely, man. Appreciate you, John, man. Love you, man. And definitely be in touch with you soon, man.
All right, boss.
All right. Appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning in to Full-Time CEO, the SHIT They Don't Tell You. Be sure to join Will Roundtree for another edition soon on the Harlem America Digital Network and the Voice America Variety Channel.